WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A huge wildfire in Louisiana forces the evacuation of a town of Maryville. CBS's Nicole Skanga is there.
Firefighters are working overtime to get the upper hand, dropping thousands of gallons of water and fire retardant, hoping to keep the fire from burning out of control.
These fires, simply put, present a threat to the public, to our families, to our homes, our businesses, and our property.
That's Commissioner Mike Strain from the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. A massive fire at the Marathon Petroleum Plant in Garyville, Louisiana, has kept emergency workers busy all day. The fire started this morning in the town about 40 miles upriver from New Orleans. WWLTV's Paul Murphy reports.
Marathon spokesman Justin Lawrence said one of the storage tanks was leaking into a perimeter containment area and the chemical somehow ignited.
The tank didn't ignite. The product that is contained in our perimeter around the tank ignited, and that's where the fire is.
Parts of Michigan are under a state of emergency after severe storms, including several tornadoes, led to at least five deaths. The system moved into northeast Ohio, as CBS's Roxana Saberi reports.
Overnight, as the storm moved south, at least four tornadoes struck Ohio, destroying the roof of this church in Cleveland. Heavy rain inundated roads and high winds toppled trees and power lines. At the peak, nearly 700,000 people in both states were sitting in the dark.
Authorities have released an official count of those not seen since wildfires flared up on Maui. There are 388 names on that list. CBS's Ben Tracy reports from the fire-scarred town of Lahaina.
The number of people missing has dropped dramatically as the FBI vets each name on the list.
We have a first and last name and some other identifier. And we were able to make contact with the person who registered the report. These are people that we do believe to be unaccounted for.
Hawaii officials are asking tourists to return to help the economy recover. They met the deadline to surrender. CBS's Nicole Killian with more on those indicted in Georgia on charges they tried to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election.
By noon Friday, the last of Trump's co-defendants turned themselves into the Fulton County Jail, including former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark, who's accused of drafting a false letter to Georgia officials about the 2020 election. The final two to surrender, Stephen Lee and Trevion Cuddy, and ex-publicist for rapper Kanye West. Both are accused of intimidating election worker Ruby Freeman.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I was crossing the
street.
The kids
are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Minneapolis. Visit the website at latungispalette.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi, to all of our friends and relatives in all four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I am stepping in for host Robert Pilot. My name is Haley Cherry, and my native name is Chashepe Wangwenik, which means Little Eagle Princess in the Hoak language of Ho-Chunk Nation, Wisconsin. We discuss local and national Native news and events here on Native Roots. And Robert Pilot, he is live at the Minnesota State Fair. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. And I just wanted to say how much we appreciate NAC and all the work that Dr. Stately and his team do for our relatives and the community. So big Pinagigi, thank you to them. Hey, we got a full show for you guys today. We've got Mary Kunish is on. We got humane policy advocate Wendy Pilot with her sacred animals is going to be back today. Robert Pilot, live day two at the Minnesota State Fair. You know, I'm kicking it in the AC. I got the easy job of pushing buttons again, and I'm loving every second of it. But I am excited to hopefully get out there this Sunday. We got Indigenous Peoples Day is going to be happening this Sunday at the park. If anyone's watching our Facebook Live, you can see me struggling with our graphics. But, oh, there I am. All good. But we got the Indigenous Peoples Day is happening here at Dan Patch Park, which is on the 27th this Sunday. Which is just right outside the grandstand within the fairgrounds, again, for Indigenous Peoples Day at the fair. And that is going to be happening from 9 to 6. And I know that the Native Governance Center will be tabling as well as other Indigenous organizations. This special day at the fair will be hosted by Natives, Indigenous Food Lab, Natives with an F. That stands for North American Traditional Indigenous Food Systems. And this year's theme is environmental and food justice for the Indigenous people of Minnesota. So be sure to check out that event again this Sunday, Dan Patch Park within the fairgrounds, just right outside the grandstand. So why don't we actually pass the mic over to Robert, who is at the fair right now with a couple folks. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
Hey, thanks, Haley. Hey, I got a couple cool guests with me right now. I just was in the education building, and we were just talking about what they were presenting in their booth, and I thought it'd be really important for our listeners out there to hear what's going on. And I want to introduce yourself, please.
Ann Jones. I'm a retired registered nurse out here at the fair working to fix how we pay for health care in Minnesota.
And that's huge. And who are you?
And I'm Maggie, and I'm a volunteer here with Healthcare for All Minnesota, working to get universal health coverage for everybody here in Minnesota.
Well, that's exciting, and that'd be a game changer. Let's talk a little bit. There's a bill coming up that State Senator Marty's presenting, and we want all our constituents and the people listening to the show to reach out to their representatives and senators. Let's talk a little bit about that before we get into the fun facts of the fair.
So the Minnesota Health Plan, introduced by Senator John Marty, written by and Liz Ryer in the House, is currently on the table in the legislature. We need some hearings. We need voters in Minnesota and constituents to call their representatives and ask them to start holding hearings on the Minnesota Health Plan, which would be universal single-payer coverage for every Minnesotan. To learn more about it, come on out to the fair. We're in the Education Building for all 12 days of the Great Minnesota Get-Together, and 12 hours a day, we can tell you all about it. Booth 21 in the Education Building, Healthcare for All Minnesota.
Well, you know, that's a game changer. Let's talk a remind our people out there that are possibly, like, married to their jobs because of health care. And, I mean, and game changer economically, where people would like their job better. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure that a lot of you folks listening have either had trouble accessing health insurance if you don't get it through your employer, or affording it if you buy it on the public market. It can be completely unaffordable. We've talked to some folks today who are paying up to $2,400 a month in premiums just to cover themselves and their families. You know, that's completely inaccessible, not to mention the price of pharmaceuticals. So what the plan would do would really make sure that everything that you do when it comes to healthcare, step A to Z, is accessible and affordable, from seeing your doctor, seeing your dentist, getting the medications that you need, seeing a specialist, getting glasses. All of that would be covered so that you can take care of yourself and your family without worrying about how you're going to afford it and access it.
Perfect. And we all know that, like, a lot of our relatives and our native relatives too are afraid to go to the doctor because of the costs. The hidden costs if they're not insured. And so it kind of keeps people away from that preventive medicine.
So the Minnesota Health Plan would not only be comprehensive, high quality, affordable care for all Minnesotans, but we think this program and proposal would be best for workers, for entrepreneurs, for small business owners, for farmers, and for everyone in greater Minnesota. Things like stabilizing funding for your hospitals and clinics out in rural Minnesota, making sure that you have the providers and caregivers that you need spread out all over the state. We want to worry about having enough people in the pipeline, making sure that you don't have to travel a long way to see an obstetrician or a mental health provider or even a primary care doctor. So all of these things are possible if we create a system that covers everybody and takes a comprehensive look at health care in Minnesota.
What kind of call to action do we have for our listeners out there?
Yeah, so the most important thing is that your legislator knows that this is a really important issue to you. So the most important thing that you can do if you're here in Minnesota, or if you're not, contact your federal legislator and let them know that this is important to you. You're seeing a gap in your ability to get health care and health coverage, and that you vote on this issue. That's the number one thing you can do. If you're here in Minnesota, make sure you let them know that we want to see a hearing this legislative session on the Minnesota Health Plan.
Wow, perfect. And I just got a quick couple fair questions before we let you go. I want to ask you what your favorite food is, or what do you eat out here at the fair?
Ooh, so last year, the best new fair food was the Minnesota Farmers Union pork sandwich. Is that the name of it? Anyway, love that. Minnesota Farmers Union. I'm going to make a free advertising for the Farmers Union booth.
Awesome. And then yours?
Well, I'm all about the pickles. I'm really excited. We have a bunch of pickle stuff here this year. So I'm going to be trying the pickle lemonade, the pickle cheese curd tacos, the pickle pizza, the pickle fries, you name it. If there's a pickle on it, I'm going to be eating it today.
Wow. Perfect. Yeah. You know, the lieutenant governor tried that pickle tea, and she was a little worried about it, but she gave it a thumbs up. I want to say a big peeny gee. Thank you. Just one more time, where you guys are at the fair?
We are Healthcare for Minnesota. We're in the Education Building, booth number 21.
Peeny Gigi, thank you. And hey, back to you, Haley.
Wow, thank you so much, Robert, and Minnesota Health Board for that great
info about what's going on the legislator's agenda for next session. We got the Minnesota health plan for all Minnesotans. And I think we need that more than ever, honestly. I think so. Contact your legislators, let them know that you support and you want to see the Minnesota health plan on the table. So make sure you do that. Really great plan just for farmers, like they said, workers, small business owners. Really just open up that door for people to get health care and to take care of themselves and to not worry about the affordability of it. Yeah, really important. I think really a good bill that we need to focus on and push for all Minnesotans. But about a minute left here in this segment. Make sure you stay with us here. We got State Senator Mary Kunish on with us here for her usual weekly updates, and we're always so grateful to have her on with us here on Native Roots Radio. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about the exterior construction company I trust, Snap Construction. If your home was hit with the most recent storms, trust the most well-reviewed exterior construction company, Snap Construction, for a free home inspection.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. There are a lot of great construction companies in town. My advice is to take your time and do your research. Make sure they are locally owned and that they guarantee their craftsmanship for life. Also, you want to find a company that's been in business for at least 10 years. You want to work with a company that's going to be there long after the work is done. Snap Construction has handled thousands of claims, and we'll help you through the process.
Don't go with the out-of-town, fly-by-night contractor. Most storm damage goes missed by the untrained eye. Trust Snap Construction for your free storm damage evaluation. For your free storm damage evaluation, call Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP or visit them online at snapconstruction.com. That's 612-333-SNAP. Or snapconstruction.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, Katagi, this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. Hey guys, welcome back to Native Roots Radio, where we discuss local and national Native news and events. You know, in the segment, we got our update weekly from State Senator Mary Kunish. We're always great to have her on. Mary is a Standing Rock Sioux tribe, so let's go ahead and listen to what she's got to say. Take it away, Mary.
Hey, Mataki Yape, Robert and Haley. So good to be here with you on this really lovely sunny Friday day. It's the 25th of August, and that means that school is just around the corner for most of our Minnesota kids. I think that there are plenty of other kids around the country that are already back in school, and that's got to be kind of tough with this heat. I know that there have been schools that that have maybe had to take a break already because they don't have air conditioning and the heat is so high. I think I heard a report about
about the bus drivers. The buses aren't air conditioned, and so the bus drivers are having a really hard time with that. So big thank you, big Wopila and Piamia to those bus drivers that get our kids to and fro from school. I know, Robert, you having been a teacher, having been a teacher, those bus drivers are often the unsung heroes of our educational system. But here in Minnesota, you know, as the summer kind of draws to an end, I know you're at the State Fair a lot, Robert. That's got to be fun. Lots of good food to eat at the Minnesota State Fair. It's the best state fair in the nation. So if anybody wants to vacation in Minnesota, State Fair time is the perfect time to come and visit us. But, you know, it's been a real good season of sun and fun, and our new school year is just right around the corner. I know that that a lot of teachers are looking forward to this school year because we have been able to invest in our schools in Minnesota like we haven't in decades. It was, you know, as many people have called it, a transformative legislative session. And that's because we use the dollars that our taxpayers give us and have given us. And yes, we had a surplus, and we took those dollars and we are funding our education in the best way with really good policy reform. And so now comes the time for our school districts to step up and you implement the policies and use those dollars to the best that they can for our students, because at the end of the day, it's all about our students. Minnesota, I think, is being discussed across the nation about the work that we did this year. We have a Democrat trifecta here. Democrats are the majority in the House and the Senate, and then our governor is also DFL. So that's how we got things done this year. And I, as the chair of education finance in the Senate, really made sure and focused on our kids, because our kids deserve the very best start we can in life. And preparing them and maintaining a strong school, especially through funding, is absolutely critical to that. So this year, our basic education formula is going to see a 4% increase and a 2% increase in the following year. Usually it's around 2 and 2, and we're kind of bickering back and forth with our GOP members about that number even. But we wanted to get that money into the schools right off the bat and ensure that future years that formula will be tied, not necessary to inflation, but we will be able to really, the schools will be able to depend on knowing that they're going to get anywhere between 2 and 3% for sure every year. We did, we invested incredible amount of money in our English language learners and our special education learners. We don't get the full funding from the federal government that we should. And so our school districts have had to use a lot of money for EL and SPED and transportation that could be going to the classrooms, going to the teachers and the resources that they need. So we wanted to alleviate some of those problems. Minnesota is also eliminate school breakfast and lunch fees. And I think that's going to be a real game changer for a lot of our families. We know that our kids can't really learn well when they come to school with a grumbling tummy, or they get to the lunch line and there's no money in their account and either they're turned away or given a peanut butter sandwich. So we're making sure that our kids have the nutrition that they need, and this will absolutely help with our program administrative costs too. So that's really going to make a big difference. One of the things that we did in the K-12 education too is K-12 education tax credit. And that is been expanded from the previous benefits for households under $35,500. So now it's going to be eligible for households all the way up to $70,000. And that maximum credit increased from $1,000
$1,000 per student or per child to $1,500 per child. So that's going to ensure that more of our middle-class taxpayers and taxpayers with older children in K-12 schools are going to receive that relief from education-related expenses. And so, as we go forward and talk about or look at some of the work that we've been able to do here in Minnesota, really and truly am proud of the work that we've been able to do, especially around Indian education. I can't tell you how proud I am of the work that we've done across the board for our tribes. I have a little packet here of about 10 pages of really good legislation that's going to affect our tribes. But when we talk about education, we were able to increase American Indian aid, education aid here in Minnesota by $12.9 million this year, and that's going to increase to $14.7 in the future. So those school districts and charter schools and tribal contract schools that operate an American Indian education program and serve more than 20 American Indian students are currently eligible for American Indian aid. So if you're in Minnesota and you have Native kids in any of our public schools, and charter schools are public schools, and there are more than 20 American Indian students in there, that your school should be and will be receiving American Indian aid. But it's what's even more important is check with your administrators, because there should be a parent advisory group that works with the administration to ensure that these dollars are getting to our Native students and getting to them in the right way. So there's a chunk of change to help our Native kids, because, you know, we have low graduation rates. Some schools are, we're seeing a significant change over the last couple of years, but it still plagues us. We also are doubling the amount of the American Indian education aid that they can receive. And we also have money for the Native Language Revitalization Grants. We have money for the Minnesota Indian Teacher Training Program. This is a one-time funding to expand those programs for our Indian teachers, and it's going to create a new revenue account to allow those grants to go for at least 5 years. So take a look for that. Anyways, we're doing just really great work here. I can't thank you enough, Robert and Haley, for being here and putting the information out there. And so I'm going to sign off just about now, and I'm sending it back to you, Robert. Have a really great time out at the fair.
Wow, thank you so much, Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish, always for joining us here on Native Roots Radio. Fridays wouldn't be the same without you, Mary. So thanks for that update. Just jumping on what Mary was talking about too, with no more fees for school lunches and breakfast. I mean, that is huge. You know, I'm 25. I remember being in even elementary school and having a different ticket for the lunchroom, and just, you know, even just like the embarrassment that you know, made me feel, and, you know, just always good to have that nutrition, and, you know, in the school system as well, is always really good. So thank you, Mary, and everyone else in the legislation that worked so hard to make that happen. We got to take a short little break here, but stick with us, and we'll be right back with Wendy Pilot. She's going to give us some great tips for some vegan options at the fair. Stay with us.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hey, it's Tom. Going solar is a great way to save on energy costs. By using the sun to power your house, you can feel good about an investment that will last for years. All Energy Solar is a locally trusted turnkey solar installer.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. A huge wildfire in Louisiana prompts evacuations in the town of Maryville. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Officials are asking residents to conserve water to help fight the fires. With the number of evacuations growing, this 72-bed shelter is filling up so fast, the American Red Cross is opening up another at a nearby church.
Severe weather hits Michigan, killing at least five people and then causing damage in neighboring Ohio. CBS's Roxana Saberi reports.
The storm spun off multiple tornadoes, packing winds of up to 100 miles per hour. Four people were killed in two separate car accidents, and another died after a tree fell on her house.
Former President Trump, after turning himself in on election interference charges in Georgia, is using his mugshot to raise money for his campaign. CBS's Nicole Killian.
President Biden, who tweeted out his own fundraising plea as Trump was being arrested, was asked about the mugshot.
I did see it on television.
What'd you think?
Handsome guy.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article? Or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. For Wapaka, Washera, Outagamie, Winnebago, Marquette, and Green Lake counties, call Kate at 920-401-5470. For Adams and Sauk counties, call Josh at 608-322-2190. For Columbia, Dodge, and Fond du Lac counties, call Bill at 920-602-7202. For Calumet and Brown counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise.
Again, needs. Dan Patch Park, Indigenous Peoples Day. Go check out what they're cooking up there. And then after that, you could head down to the West End Market and do some shopping at Native Roots Trading Post. Hey, before we go into our sacred animal section of the show, I just want to introduce Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been a humane policy advocate here on Native Roots for many, many years, and we always appreciate her giving a voice to our sacred animals. So take it away, Wendy.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. Hey, today, Robert is at the Minnesota State Fair. He is at our booth, Native Roots Trading Post. We're located in the West End Market, so come by and check it out. I think the weather this week is going to be a little bit cooler and more tolerable. And today I was asked to talk about vegan food that you can find at the Minnesota State Fair. Yeah. So as most people know who listen, I am vegan. I do not eat any animal products. And I've been vegan, I'm going to say, for about 12 years now. And when I went to the Minnesota State Fair in years past, it was really hard for me to find food that I would eat. So they do have, if you go online, for anybody who out there who is interested, they do have a Minnesota State Fair vegan food guide. And it's from bitesizedbeat.com. Again, that's bitesizedbeat.com. And it's dated August 15th, 2023. And it gives you a list of the food that is vegan. There is a disclaimer here that says the person who made up this blog, that they've compiled this list from what they've eaten and from other lists that they've seen online. So they haven't necessarily tried everything and therefore cannot legitimately recommend everything. Some things people may like and some people may not like, but this is really an awesome guide. And I use this guide when I go to the Minnesota State Fair because literally every year there's another vegan or plant-based option put on this list. Honestly, I don't even think that I'm going to be able to get through the list in my segment here, but so that's how many things that there are. So the International Bazaar, if you've ever gone in that area, really has so many delicious vegan options. And so first of all, they have, let's see, cinnamon roasted nuts. Who doesn't like cinnamon roasted nuts, right? Moma dosa is a veggie pakora, which I love, and it's marked vegan and gluten-free, but the mint chutney has yogurt in it. So you just take that off the side, right? And most things that are vegetarian, most of the time could easily be made vegan, right? So I don't do any cheese or dairy or fish or meat or anything that comes from an animal. The Panda Palace Asian cuisine in the International Bazaar has delicious vegetable spring rolls and veggie fried rice. St. Martin's olives on a stick. Now, who doesn't like a good olive? I know Robert and I love olives, and we eat olives all the time. The Union Hmong Kitchen has a lemongrass turmeric tofu, which is vegan and gluten-free. And I have to say, I have not had that ever. So I will make that one of my places to go and try. Again, that's at the International Bazaar, all those places that I did. Now, the food building. The food building is great. And I love to go through the food building. And it's really fun to do that. And last year, the Herbivorous Butcher, which is located in Minneapolis, and it's actually a butcher shop. You go in there and it looks like a butcher shop. The Herbivorous Butcher, they are new in the food building and they're offering two delicious, and I don't know what they are right now, options that you could go in and buy. But I didn't know this either. The Dairy Bar has oat milk soft serve, and I love a good soft serve. And I'm telling you, people who are not vegan and have had the oat milk ice creams say it's just delicious. You could also get falafels at the Falafel Kings, Harry Sings, anything marked vegetarian could be made vegan. The Herbivorous Butcher, I said, Manny's, Tortillas, there's Mario's, the Nautical Bowls, Oodles of Noodles, Sarah's Tipsy Pies, which are really delicious. The Irish apple one is vegan, and it's like a little handheld apple pie that you can eat, and it's so delicious. Everywhere else in the fair, you could get Auntie M's funnel cakes. I did not know that they were vegan, and I think that I haven't eaten them in many years because I didn't know, but I'm going to try that. Baba's hummus, falafel, pita bread, also really good. The Ballpark Cafe, listen, you could get some garlic fries and onion rings that are really good. Every year I go to the corn roast. Just hold the butter. That's it. Hold the butter and it's vegan. Get a little salt on there. And let me tell you, the corn at the Minnesota State Fair does not need anything on it. It is just so delicious. And at Daryl's Doghouse, they have a vegan corn dog. There's a little booth that they opened up. And I'm going to tell you, the guy, we talked to the guy at Daryl's Doghouse, which is the vegan corn dog. I think it was new last year. He just by accident kind of did this, and he could not believe at the response that he got. And he just said, I'm making more money selling vegan corn dogs than if I would a regular corn dog. And they're delicious. So definitely go and try that. Let's see what else we got here. French Meadow has several marked vegan options. The fresh French fries, we know that those are so delicious. Hamlin Church Dining Hall has dill pickle lemonade and strawberry that is also marked here. Delicious, and you have to try it. Harry's Kettle Corn. Island Noodles, this is one of my favorite things. I go every year and I have it. Island Noodles, traditional noodles, are marked vegan and it's delicious. Really, really good. Johnny Pops, Juanita's Fajitas, delicious. Veggie fajita, bean bowls, just get it without cheese. I'm going to run out of time. I told you that. See that? There's so many vegan options at the Minnesota State Fair. Let's see, mini apple pie, apple and blueberry pie without ice cream. Snowy shaved ice. Minnesota apples at the agricultural building. You could get apple cider, frozen apple cider, and applesauce. Vegan. The perfect pickle, regular or Cajun fried pickles, and you could just bring your own dipping sauce. Let's see, the produce exchange. If you want to stay healthy, you can get some fresh fruit, grilled peaches. Very good. Let's see what this is. Sunny's Fair Food Spiral Cut Chips. Let's see, cotton candy. You want some candy? Get that. Strawberries and cream. Strawberry patch. You can get strawberries with canned whipped cream. On request, it's vegan. Tot Boss, plain tots, you can get those. Very good. West End Creamery, that's where we're based. A soy-based ice cream with oat milk. Ask for the dairy-free menu, but note, it's not all vegan, so check it out. Delicious food, so go out there if you're vegan. If not, just try some of these. Try some of these options. You'd be really surprised how delicious they are. Some are healthy, and honestly, some of them are not. But you know what? I'm not healthy. I am not a vegan, and I don't do it for health. I do it for the animals. Listen, I don't want to eat anything that's going to run away from me if I come at it with a knife. So with that, Robert, back to you, Haley, and have a great Minnesota State Fair this year.
Wow. Thank you, Wendy. You guys, again, that's Wendy Pilot, our humane policy advocate here on Native Roots Radio, Wendy Pilot, or also Cares for Them is her Native name. But you can find all of those vegan options at the Minnesota State Fair again, which there was a lot. So if you missed any of those, a lot meaning amazing, I'm happy we have that many options for our vegan people. But if you missed any of those, go check that out at bitesizedbeat.com/blog/Minnesota State Fair. I wanted to point out to the Juanina's Fajitas, amazing name, just really rolls off the tongue. I had a great chuckle at that one. Juanina's Fajitas, go check them out if you're heading out to the State Fair for some great vegan options. Wendy too, just mentioning on the corn, great sweet corn, roasted sweet corn out at the State Fair. If you haven't had that, that's always one of my go-tos as well. But vegan, make it vegan, hold the butter. It really doesn't need butter or salt. I mean, really, I just had the most amazing sweet corn this past weekend at the Midwakaton Shakopee Powwow Grounds, and amazing. Love the sweet corn. So if you're out there, go get that. I believe they're $1 for... what do they call it? Like a cob, the corn on the cob. So get out there, have some of that. Bring your dental floss. That's always what I forget to bring with me because the corn, it just always gets stuck in my teeth, but always worth it. So next up, I know Robert's still out at the fair, and I know we've got another great guest on the line that he is with as well. So we got to take a short break here soon, coming up in just about a minute. But if you're not driving and you're not listening to us on the air, make sure to check us out on Native Roots Radio Facebook page or our YouTube channel as well. Check out our live stream that we have going on every time we do the show. So stay with us. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Oh,
your neighbors are talking about the Blue Line Extension, connecting North Minneapolis, Crystal, Robbinsdale, and Brooklyn Park to the light rail transit system.
I feel like a lot of times people, when they think about transit, it's like, well, it's a bus, it's a train, it's whatever. But it really isn't. It's a lifeline for many communities, and it feels like something that we really need here.
Hear more of this story and others at yourblueline.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
Senior Linkage Line is a free, statewide service of the Minnesota Board on Aging, helping older Minnesotans and caregivers find answers and connect to services and supports. Questions about Medicare, transportation, looking to move to senior housing, overwhelmed with prescription drug plans? Call the Senior Linkage Line at 800-333-2433 or visit trellisconnects.org, where we help people optimize well-being as they age. That's trellisconnects.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, Kadagi, welcome back. This portion of the show is supported by NACTI, All My Relations Art Gallery. You can go check out that exhibit, Inde Wisagindam, My Heart Hurts, which is a solo exhibition by Laura Youngbird. And Laura is a member of the Minnesota Chippewa Grand Portage Band here in Minnesota. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, if you're not going to head out to the fair and you want to stay in the AC, why don't you head over to NACTI's All My Relations Art Gallery and check that out. It's right next door to Powwow Grounds Coffee. So get yourself some coffee, or if you want to try their fry bread, is amazing as well. Get a fry bread taco or fry bread pizza and tell them that Native Roots Radio sent you over there. I know Robert's at the fair, and Robert is with a very special guest that he is ready to interview. So why don't we hand it over to you, Robert?
Hey, thanks, Haley. You know, I'm at the fair here, and I'm running into a lot of cool people. I want this gentleman here to introduce himself.
Rick Hansen. I'm a state representative from South St. Paul, Minnesota.
We love South St. Paul, and being a St. Paul person, it's our close neighbor here of the Pilot family.
Well, it's great. I've got, I represent South St. Paul, Invergrove, Newport, St. Paul Park, Southern Cottage Grove, and Northern Gray Cloud Island Township.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a lot of land. So we had the trifecta, and it's really fun to talk to our senators and representatives and Lieutenant Governor and Governor about how Minnesota seems to be the beacon of the United States and all the great work that you guys have done this year.
It is, you know, we have to kind of pinch ourselves. Did it really happen? What's this strange feeling that I have? Oh, it's succeeding. I mean, it's working. You know, things are working. So it's great. I chair the Environment Committee, and we have so many things that, you know, we worked on for years, just years that we've worked on and able to accomplish. And, you know, some of these things were bipartisan, some weren't, but you know, I think people are generally pretty happy with what we've done.
Well, I know I am, and I know there's a lot of native bills, a lot of bills like free lunch for the students. There's a lot of these issues that I know your party's been working on, for, as you said, for years and years, and it's just been a great thing. So we got another session coming up in a little while here, so people out there should probably be starting to think about reaching out to their senators and representatives about some bills maybe.
Well, come to the state fair. We're here. We're behind the screen at the Minnesota House booth. It's the one quiet place on the fairgrounds for the interview. But I've been working here the last couple days. We've got people coming in from all over the state. We've got an opinion survey that's anonymous that people can fill out. And people aren't shy about asking or giving their opinions. So it's really enjoyable. You know, people love the fair, and they love coming by and talking to us. So it's an enjoyable experience. And then after I'm done here, I'm going to go get some food.
Right on. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. So, hey, we're in the education building. And if you don't know where that is, there's information booths all over the fair. But it's a lot of great information, a lot of different booths here. And again, you'll see some state representatives and senators.
Yeah, I want to make sure we talked a little bit about some great things that we did. You know, we provided funding for restoration of elk with Fond du Lac. We provided the money for turning back to the Upper Sioux Agency tribe for that land mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
You know, and then just in general, I think a different tone of, you know, we're part of this world. We're not, we don't have dominion over it. And in environment, we've got to realize that we're, you know, whether it's a little bumblebee or whether it's a deer or whether it's otter or a beaver, I mean, we're all part of this thing. And you know, we haven't taken very good care of our land, and we have to do better on it. And we're starting to make that effort. You know, even when you walk around the fairgrounds here, you see the ash trees that are getting sick. And we provided money to try to help with takedown and to plant new trees, not all of the same species, not all of the same age. And try to get that, get the restoration happening. And you'll see even on the fairgrounds here, people have restored pollinator gardens and habitat. So I'm hopeful that we can build on what we've done this year. There's so much to do, turning the ship to do things better.
Yeah, and it's really cool that, you know, we're all part of the land, and our relatives that you talk about with hooves and tails and big noses, you know, it's great to hear a lawmaker like yourself talk that way.
Well, it's, you know, we come from it and we return to it, and we need to take care of it. And it's really, it's that change of focus of rather than just it's there for us to use, well, no, we have to be a part of it. And it's just, you know, I think that's really, it's not just a Native view. I think it's a young people. You know, when I have young people in their 20s and even the teenagers and they're filling out the surveys, I hear them argue with their parents about climate, you know, or taking care of the environment, or we have a question about the wolf hunt. And so come and fill out the questionnaire. But there's young people that are just, it's just a different, I think things are changing, and I feel hopeful about that.
Yeah, really good point, and I'm going to let you go here in a second here, but I just wanted to say, the wolf hunt we're so against, and the, you know, like the lieutenant governor's part of the wolf clan, so we know how sacred they are, and wow, this has been really, really a good interview, and I really appreciate what you do for the state of Minnesota, and I just got to ask you a couple of quick questions, and one is, what's your favorite fair food?
Well, I'm kind of traditional. I have the Pronto Pup. I have to eat a Pronto Pup, and then I have to go to the Ag Hort building and get an apple. I always get an apple, and I always get a Pronto Pup, and then I top it off with the little mini donuts. And then I go home and take some antacids.
Right on. And thank you so much, State Senator, for stopping by Native Roots Radio.
Glad to be here, and anytime.
All right. Back to you, Haley.
Thanks so much, Robert. Another great interview. You know, State Representative, you know, that is just hilarious what you said. Talking about all your fair food that you eat and then you go home and take an antacid. You know, me too, State Representative. Again, you know, that was State Representative Rick Hansen, and he's a part of our Democratic Farmer Labor Party here in the state of Minnesota, and he works on a lot of the environmental issues here. And, you know, we say land back a lot on this show and as natives, you know, because we're, you know, as people who inhabited this land, you know, we're one of the first people to know how to work with the land, not against it, how to have a relationship with Mother Earth and Father Sky and how to take care of them. And, you know, I really agree what you said there, State Representative. We come from the land. We come from the earth. We return to it, and we have to take care of it, not take from it. You know, as natives, if we are to take something from Mother Earth, we always make sure to give back in some way and return the favor. And, you know, that's just having a relationship with the earth and not taking from it. You know, I always say if you're going to take something, you know, plant a tree, plant two, plant three, but really, always important to take care of our earth. And I agree too with the younger generation. You know, I'm Gen X and or Gen Z, and I feel like we are just so have awakened to the issues going on with climate change and environmental issues and all of that. And we all really need to become awake. And there's a quote that I really like. I forget who says it, but the American dream is only a dream because you need to be sleeping to believe it. So wake up. And that one hits really close to home, and I'm sure it does for a lot of you listeners out there as well. So with that, we got to end the show here. So thank you so much for listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Robert Pilot, and I hopefully back out at the Minnesota State Fair next week. We have to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and free Leonard Peltier. Now.
kids are heading back to class. But when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.